Praise the Lord. Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus. Thankful for the gathering together of the saints again. Blessing to see your faces and encourage one another in the most holy faith. Let's pray this time. Dear Father, our desire is to learn more about your grace. And it calls us to conform ourselves and to be reconciled to you. Thank you for your mercy and goodness and love to us, for opening up your arms and just continually inviting the prodigal home. Thank you for Jesus, your Son, whom you did not spare, but sent him and gave him as a sacrifice that we might find life and freedom and be able to serve you with all our hearts. Dear God, thank you for the kingdom and for the fact that your kingdom will prevail. And we just say, thy kingdom come, Father. Just bless our brothers and travel, and David and Norman, our brothers in South Dakota, and our brothers in Mexico, and in South America, and Colombia, and Brazil, Father, India, be with each one this morning, Father. Thank you. Fill us with your Spirit and give us teaching from your word. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The men of grace have found glory begun below. Celestial fruits on earthly ground from faith and love may grow. Faith and hope may grow, it says. That's a real blessing to find the kingdom of heaven here. And because of that, to have a lively hope in that which is to come. Well, let's turn to Matthew chapter 26, verse 26. May that be the focus of our thoughts this morning. To be prepared as a bride, the bride of Christ. We're here in this world as disciples who have said goodbye for a little time to our King. And we are like standing on the coast of our present abode and looking with longing eyes across the ocean for the return of our Lord. And eager to catch the first glimpse of His appearance. And we don't stand alone, none of us do, in watching for the return of our Lord. But there we are with a few others who are waiting and watching as well. And we in faith and hope together look for our King. And we find fellowship one with another, waiting for His return. It's like to talk a little bit about communion this morning, the Lord's Supper. And just here in Matthew 26, I'd like to just go through the Gospels to start with and see where Jesus took out bread and broke it, and He took a cup too. And just look at this rite, we could call it, that He just told His disciples to get together and observe. as they look and they wait for His return. Verse 26 of Matthew 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Let's go over to Mark 14. Okay, verse 22. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And He took the cup, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And He said unto them, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And now to Luke chapter 22. Verse 15. And He said unto them, "With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not eat any more thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And He took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." And He took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table." It's interesting that He says, "I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." It's a looking forward to the kingdom of God and its full fulfillment. But we as His disciples show the Lord's death until He comes now. And we do it in remembrance of our Lord. It seems like a ceremony or a rite, but this is what Jesus did. And we're still in the flesh. And as we get together and we show that we together as His disciples wait for His return, we can't help but decide that this has to be true. This has to mean that I am not above my brother. And that we are, of course, not above our Lord. And that as we take the same bread and drink of the same cup, we are one in showing the Lord's death. till He comes. Now let's turn to 1 Corinthians 10. And verses 15 to 18. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 15. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold Israel after the flesh. Are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? Praise the Lord. Partaking of the altar, partaking of the body of Christ. We have communion. Because we have communion. I know when I wasn't here when our brethren first began, Brother David and Brother Kevin and the other families that were here, began to have communion together. Began to break bread and to drink the cup together. But they began to observe this because they had communion. Because there was something to gather around. There was a reason to live and to work in the kingdom of heaven. The same reason. There was a kinship of heart. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 11 now in verse 17. The apostles didn't say a lot about communion after Jesus. I mean, it might seem like the apostle Paul says a lot here in 1 Corinthians 11, but really there wasn't a lot said, you think about it. Seems like Jude mentioned it some, and we'll look at that if I don't forget. What the Apostle Paul says about it is in correction for the lack of even comprehending the body of Christ, for forgetting the body, for forgetting Christ, really. And so he reproves this, verse 17. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that ye come together, not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together therefore into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating everyone taketh before other, his own supper. And one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them which have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And He just said, I just received from the Lord that which also I already spoke to you about beforehand, that the disciples do this. Verse 24. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. After the same manner also, He took the cup when He had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, he says, wherefore, back to what he was originally getting to, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, there again, wherefore, this is what I'm talking about. When ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Now, I don't understand the mix-up and the mess that was going on that they were calling the love feast or the Lord's Supper. But the Apostle Paul was correcting it. He just ends up saying, this is what you ought to be doing. Just wait for one another. Discern the Lord's body. Understand what a body is. Don't divide up the bride of Christ. Seems like people today are saying, well, we all need each other. We over here, we're drunken, and you all over there can be hungry. We need hungry people, and we need full people. But you all just eat your own, we'll eat ours. He says, no. He says, tarry one for another. You're one in Christ. That doesn't leave room for a division in the body of Christ. Don't come together into condemnation as factions. And the rest, whatever that was, he said, he'll set in order when he comes. What is this? We say there are different words used to describe this observance. Communion, or this, some people call it an ordinance. Well, yes, Jesus ordained, if we want to say it that way. He told us to do this, show the Lord's death, to show His death until He comes, to do this in remembrance of Him. And God's people from way back, when they found fellowship in the sufferings of Christ, just they wanted to break bread together. Just like Jesus broke to His disciples and they all partook of it. He didn't say just some of you at this time and some of you at that time. He said, drink ye all of it. All. Partake. All Christians. All disciples of this. And as Christians did this all through history, they were saying, I remember Christ. I want to be the bride of Christ. I'm looking forward to the marriage of the Lamb. And let's do something now showing this together. And I'm not greater than you. And we're one, partaking as if Christ were in our midst, which we believe He is as we follow Him. I am seeking to purify myself. I am purifying myself for this marriage, Supper of the Lamb, we say to one another. Doesn't mean I haven't failed this week. It doesn't mean I'm just without fault, that you could find in me. But I desire to be the pure bride of Christ, and I try to do all that He tells me to do. We are saying in this. And that when I fail, I get up and follow in truth. And I am seeking to learn more from the bridegroom. I was reading in the Martyr's Mirror, there was a father and his two sons that were burned. They were strangled and then burned for the faith. The father, well, on the way to the execution, the father and his sons were chained. And here a younger son came along. He was too young to be charged with this heresy that the churchmen were charging them of. Of this being a part of this hated sect of Anabaptists. I think it called them the Menists at that time, as people who were learning from Men of Simons. And the young son came and he embraced his father, but the bailiff or someone, or burgomaster, I think it was, grabbed him and just threw him under the feet of the crowd that were following cruelly. And then as they were standing in the place of execution and they were getting ready to be strangled and then burned, it seems a little bit more humane to me, kind of. But they were going to be killed for the faith. The father asked his boys, "Is it well, my sons?" And they said, "Yes, father, it's well." And then it just, at the end of it, just as an afterthought, it says, and there was their sister far, far off with the bride-to-be, the betrothed young lady of one of the sons, watching from a distance. She watching her bridegroom give his life. And that just is really a blessing to me to think of her seeing her bridegroom give his life, and then look forward to being a part of the same bride of Christ, serving the same Christ that he was dying for. And so, that's our desire. And that better be our desire if we're partaking of communion. That we're not resisting our bridegroom's commands. We're seeking to be a bride ready for that day. In tune with Him. Another word that's sometimes used is the sacrament or mystery. A mystery too is another word. They're different words. I just looked up that word mystery that so often the New Testament speaks of. It's quite a number of times the word mystery is used. The Greek word mysterium. One of the things it says as a definition is to shut the mouth. And that's just interesting. I mean, we could just worry about this. That look, in the Old Testament, they did all these rites and rituals and things to help people to remember. Why are we supposed to do this one thing? Or baptism, another thing. And men have done this. They have tried and tried to explain. And finally they concluded, some of them, that it's not necessary. It's in the way we live and the way we think. But why can't we just shut the mouth? to shut the mouth and do what Jesus said and not worry about it. Another word that it says, it's a secret, mystery or secret. That which isn't open and openly revealed to us all. There are some secrets about this that we are glad to be a part of it, though we cannot explain them. The word sacrament seems to be related to that word secret. It's more the Latin. It comes from more Latin. And I'm not big on that word, but I don't have a problem with it, because a sacrament has to do with something sacred. And sacred means consecrated. Consecrated. In Spanish, it's consagrado. Consacred. That which is dedicated to thinking about the Lord. Men have taken it, not shut their mouths, they've opened their mouths and just tried to figure it out, and then made it something totally idolatry in the past. They would, and some call it a symbol, and I mean, it's a symbol too. But then they say it's only a symbol. And others say it is the living Christ right here in this bread. But what a blessing. I mean, in the dictionary, the word sacrament, it says the word secret, and it says the gospel, which is also mysterious. The mystery of the gospel, that God would call us to reconciliation to Him. It's a blessing as we see these things. Let's look at in Jude then, where he talks about spots in your feast. What hinders a feast, and when should we not feast with someone? When I speak of the feast, I'm speaking of communion together. Remember, the Apostle Paul also said in another place, don't eat with people who are in sin. And in Jude, he said, if I can find it here, verse 16. No, I think before that. 8, verse 8. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of dignities. Verse 10. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto you, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feasts of charity, in your love feasts, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Verse 16, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words. having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Far from discerning the Lord's body, far from being a partaker of the Lord's body. Therefore, we refuse to commune with people like that, so that our feasts may not be full of spots. How is our love for the brethren? How do we understand the body of Christ? I remember being in a church where something was said in a message. There was just so much suspicion and lying in wait to catch words of another. Which at one time I was a part of myself. Of doing the same things. But I remember that that something was said one Sunday morning that these distrustful members didn't agree with. And immediately after the sermon, they scrambled to get the CD or the tape, the recording of the service. And I think at one particular time that they did that, scrambled to get it so they could have it. They found that it had already been confiscated. Or either that, or maybe another time there was that particular part of it was mysteriously erased. And then, in the midst of all that, then counselors were called in to try to get this group somehow ready to observe fall communion. Can we see a problem there in that? We have communion because it's there already, and may it be that way. I remember a man telling me, "I have lots of this stuff on file." Grievances he had toward things that were said by a brother he was opposing. A brother that opposed him, he thought. And it was probably true. But he said, I have lots of that stuff on file. Files! And just ready to add another bit of evidence. Some other blasphemy. Some other heresy or hypocrisy or subjectiveness. Whatever you could find out of order. Add that to your already bulging file of evidence. And then turn around and try to have communion together. Get everyone to give a little apology, which would happen. Give a little apology. And then try to have some communion. Just reminds me of yesterday going. Brother Atlee called and he's having trouble with his truck alongside the road, and it just he could get it to go a little bit and it would stop and just wouldn't start then. And then he'd get it to go a little bit and it'd stop again. Just up, not even a mile, and it would stop. And we finally got there, Mari and I, and we bled the thing again, bled off the air that it had in the fuel system, and it got a little more fuel, and it just ran great. And okay, let's take off again. And he took off, and oh, how good it seemed like it was going to run. It didn't even get up to speed hardly, and by the wayside again. Just like it had a little revival, made a little apology, could go again. A little bit, but it wouldn't last. Atlee said this morning is like a broken cistern. That's the way it is if we're not connected to Christ. And if we're retaining these grievances against one another, or worrying about things that we know not, speaking evil of dignities, and speaking of things that we ought not, or we know not of. My desire is to be simple in this observance, like Christ told His followers. And like I believe the apostles were, just reaffirming in what they said about the Lord's Supper. If you're together, if you're one around Christ, praise the Lord. Show His death till He comes. After we figured out on Atlee's vehicle that we were just trying to make yet another vehicle run on air, we figured out that he's running off the wrong tank, and the one tank was empty, and so we'd get fuel and no problems at all. Could go on. Could stay on the road. Seemed like in observing communion, seemed like it takes our brethren in other parts of the world, the churches forming, it takes them a little while sometimes to get to the point where, hey, I think we're ready to have communion. Our brethren in Mexico, it's been just a little while now that they've been having communion together, breaking bread together around Christ. And it just seems to take some maturity sometimes to simply break bread together in truth. And I appreciate the desire to be sure we are one before we're just acting like we are, rather than making sure we have the right or the outward observance and have it backwards and not have it in the heart. So let's keep the feast and not easily skip the feast. If we are one with the brethren, how can we lightly deem an institution of the Lord? But to come together and to partake and to be longing to show the Lord's death to His brethren. Do this in remembrance of Him. The early Christians, Justin Martyr talks about taking portions to them that were absent. He didn't necessarily say them that were sick. He said those that were absent, which included those that were sick and so forth. But we do some of that too. It's just, appreciate the looking out for one another and desiring that we all be a part of the body. Let's sing the song 102.
Blessed be the dear uniting love that will not let us part. Yeah.
That's related to the word Eucharist. A thanksgiving. A grace as well. The grace of the Eucharist. That which feeds us. And the bread of heaven, on thee we feed, for thy flesh is meat indeed. Ever may our souls be fed with this true and living bread. Jesus, may we ever be grafted, rooted, built on thee.
Amen. Let us free from our captor. And and to set us free from ourselves. And that too.
Praise the Lord.
And I think, I just thought of this, there could be some more depth of thought on it for sure, but that along with what Steve was saying about the Reformation, and then they picked it up again, and then slowly, little by little, laid it aside. I mean, when we view the death of Christ, by the way, you do show the Lord's death, really. When we view the death of Christ as a sacrifice, being paid to God, in the sense that they do that, and it becomes a fearful thing, it becomes a thing that's outside of or different from what God intended us to be, but when we see it as Him giving Himself on our behalf and canceling claim on our souls and pleasing the Father thereby, it makes us desire and come into it. Put it away and think it little important or fearing.
Yeah.
And making it a thing that is so fearful that's what's become and what myself, several of us are having to unlearn because of what we've been taught by the sacrificial model of the atonement.
Mm-hmm.
All that tied in is pretty interesting, but praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Okay, well, by way of announcements, I think Brother David is coming back and maybe getting here tonight. Apparently, is according to Brother Olin, just told me that his visa had run out for India. I remember it seems like not too long ago that he got his 10-year visa to India. It must have run out, so he's headed back. And Norman is going on, the way it sounds, what we know at this point. So David may get here sometime tonight. I don't know when. Heard from him yesterday. A number of us did. Fabio Rosa was baptized yesterday morning, our time probably. And wanting to walk in the light. His wife is atheist, I understood. And she's German. He is from Brazil, and I don't know that he even speaks, sounds like he doesn't even speak German very fluently, but they went yesterday, they went to where the crowds were, and they might have gone to eat something too, and David said it just seemed like Fabio would have been glad to preach, but none of them spoke German very well, just a little handicap there. Let's pray for him, Bobby. Any other details that you brethren had to add to that or something to think of, David would have mentioned? Okay. Well, tonight we'd like to meet at the park in Pierce City near the Catholic Church there, like we have before. Same place. Plan to meet there at 6, I believe, and unless it rains or something like that. Something else you'd have to announce yet before we close? Well, we can stand and we'll dismiss you. We thank you, God, for your goodness, and we just commit the brethren to you this week and every day, that we might keep ourselves in your love. Amen.
Give me the wings of